Okay, we're starting Sefer Yoel today, which is second book of Tre'asar, and it starts Dvar Hashem Asher HaYoel Yoel Ben Pesuel. The word of God that came to Yoel, son of Pesuel, but it does not tell us when. Hoshea told us the kings who ruled during the time that he spoke to Bnei Israel, so we know it was towards the end of the ten tribes, around the year 750 to around 700 BCE. But Yoel gives us no hint whatsoever as to when he lived. And we can perhaps tell from the content he describes a devastating plague of locusts that destroyed the land of Israel to the extent that piqued the interest of Rashi in his Perush al HaTorah, because it says there was never a plague of locusts this devastating. So where does that pique Rashi's interest? In Parshas Bo. Because in the eighth of the ten plagues in Egypt, the Torah says, this is the worst plague of locusts, and there will never be a worse plague than this. V'acharav lo yihye kain.
Does Yoel say literally
Yoel
the worst?
Yoel is certainly after that. Yes. It doesn't say it right here, but it'll say it later. So we can perhaps look in history as to when this plague occurred. Now, I must put a monkey wrench into this discussion, is that a contemporary of Hoshea, named Amos, he's later in Tre'asar, although he lived at the same time as Hoshea, because the four kings that he mentioned, the kings he mentions are the same as the Hosheas. So, Amos describes a vision where God tells him, I'm going to send a plague of locusts unto the people, and he almost describes it and begs to God, God, what I see is so devastating, Israel will not be able to survive such a plague. Who will lift her up afterwards? And God hears almost his prayer and he says, almost you pray well, I will forestall this plague. It will not happen. So one has to figure how does this work through? Because if Yoel is like shortly after almost, or even some years, even 50, 60 years after almost, which would make him a contemporary, let's say, of Yirmiyahu, if Yoel is living at a later time, and you'll see the appeal of why we might want to say such a thing, it's a bit perplexing of why Amos would include in his book, which is only nine chapters altogether, a vision of destructive locusts that he successfully got God to forestall, and then Yoel comes and says God changed his mind. I think it's still within the rules of a good prophecy being. Can't be undone, because God just says, okay, I won't destroy them now, but they got so bad, I'm going to destroy them 50 years from now. But Dafka with locusts, when a former prophet said it won't happen?
Right.
So I will tell you now that the Seder Olam, an historical Tanaic work about the history of Tanakh, claims that Yoel was before Amos. Right? As Yoel before Amos. So, okay. So, Yoel spoke about a plague of locusts that preceded Amos' ability to forestall another one.
A different one.
All right, but why this plague that says was the worst plague ever of locusts didn't destroy Israel, but Amos is maybe almost or even a more devastating plague of locusts. But what I do want to, what I will do is by answering Rashi's question, with Rashi's answer and a few others, that may be an answer to this current question of what Yoel is talking about. So let's go back to Rashi's question. How could a plague, listen carefully to the question and you can try to answer one to yourself. How could the Torah say in Egypt, which is certainly before Yoel, according to every opinion, how could the Torah say in Egypt, this is the worst plague of locusts ever and there will never be another plague like it? V'charav lo yihye kain. Right? And then, some hundreds of years later, it says this was the worst plague of locusts to ever come about.
They may be talking about geographic location.
Of course. Let's see the whole pasuk. Lo yakein arba kamo b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Acharav lo yakein. Even as his answer, he says that the plague number eight.
Well, that seems to not even ask a question. If it says that, I mean, what's the question? The Mitzrayim.
All right, if you were thinking of asking a question, this explains away the question, in my opinion. It really is not a question at all. that's better than answering a question.
Yes.
So there is no question.
Yes.
So this was the worst plague of locusts ever in Egypt, and the plague that Yoel talks about was not in Egypt, so it's not part of the question. Okay. Rashi gives a different answer. Rashi says that if you look at the locusts that Yoel talks about, quite explicitly, he mentions four types of locusts.
Yeah.
And there are even some more words for locusts that Yoel doesn't use, but the four are Arbe, because they're great in number.
Uh-huh.
Yelek is to lick up. It's interesting. It's the same phonetically, the same in Hebrew and English. To lick up whatever is left.
Is that the same as
Gazam?
Hayelek.
Gazam is gozes. It chops. The gazam locusts have sharp teeth. And then the one that finishes off whatever the other locusts leave behind is called chesil. Ches samach yud lamed, not a common word for locusts in Tanakh, but if you recognize at the end of the Seder, we say chasal sidur pesach.
Yes.
Because chasal in Aramaic means to finish off. So whatever the other locusts don't eat, the chasil will destroy and leave you with nothing but bark. No leaves, no vegetation at all. So Yoel refers to four different types of locusts, and I'm making up these numbers. And if you can imagine, let's say there were 5 billion Arbe, 5 billion Yelek, 5 billion Chesil, and 5 billion Gazam. But in Egypt there were 10 billion Arbe. So technically speaking, the Egypt's Arbe was a worse Arbe. It says there would never be another Arbe. But Yoel's devastation was much worse because there were more locusts altogether. Even though the word locust has different words in
Hebrew. Meaning Arba is a single kind of locust.
Right. So why don't we know these words in English? Why do we only use one word, locust?
Yeah.
Tell me culturally.
Do we get locusts?
Because we don't get locusts.
Much.
English speakers don't live in places where there are a lot of locusts.
Much. We get them, but not
right.
much.
Yeah, so the cicadas, whatever it is, so that we don't...
No, but we, occasionally there have been in America.
So you look at this, and you're going to call all four of them locusts
right.
in English.
That's right.
But in Israel, right. in the Middle East, where they get plagues of locusts on not just on occasion...
Is that right?
So yes, so they're going to produce more words for locusts based on the different kinds. Just like in the Bible, there are many different words for rain, but there's only one word for snow. But in Eskimo dialects, they have 20 different words for snow.
Right.
All right. So the culture that produces certain more specific words are because they're used to those words. This is the Dvar Mishel Tam.
Right.
Okay. All right. So that's why that's Rashi's solution for the different types of different psukim. That the Egypt locusts, Arbe, called Arbe, was worse, but the devastation in Yoel was worse because there were other types. Okay, Radak asks the kasha on this. From three prakim in Tehillim. There are three chapters in the book of Tehillim that speak of the redemption from Egypt that mention the 10 plagues. Now, there are more than three chapters until I mention redemption from Egypt, but three of them, chapters 78, 105, and 106. 106 happens to be today's Tehillim, if you say it by the day of the month, Chav Beis. So chapter 106 in Tehillim, 105 and 78, run through the redemption from Egypt, and all three discuss the 10 plagues. Not any one of those three chapters mentions all 10 plagues. They're mentioned out of order. And between the three chapters, when it gets to talk about locusts, it poetically refers to the chasil ate up everything. The yelek and the gazam wiped out. It even uses a word for locusts that is not found in Yoel. Whose answer does this cause a problem to?
For Rashi.
Yeah, yeah. Rashi wanted to claim that in Egypt all there was Arbe.
Right.
Whereas in Yoel there are all these other kinds, but in the poetic descriptions of Tehillim,
there are all of them.
He mentions all of them.
Right.
And even one that the Torah doesn't mention, Chanamel, right. which some say is not a locust. So, what answer would you give to that? But that gives an answer. He protects Rashi. He gives an answer that maintains Rashi. He doesn't say this disproves Rashi.
The protection would be that the Arba did all those things. That the single Arba was the function of
Olam. And the Yelag and the Chassil just sat around watching television?
No. There was, the Arba did the licking, the Chassil, that single Arba did all the kinds of devastation. That's my
But no, because you're being a tzaddik about Tehillim. But Doc says something about Tehillim is a little controversial.
That it's poetic, not
right. It's poetic. It's not historical. He was just being poetic about TV, and he repeats things. The Tehillim is very, very poetic and beautifully parallelistic in its structures. Tzadik Hashem b'chol rechov, chosid b'chol masov. So there are those who just say, okay, tzadik chosid, but others say, no, we have to be tzadik. How you're a tzadik in your derech, you're a chosid in your masim. So that you have to nitpick, like the Malbim does, like Rashi does, at every word in Tehillim. It's not just stamazoi throwing words around. But the Radak allows it, because we know that's the Radak's derech. The Radak says that in the Pirushal Torah, that the Torah speaks in parallelistic structures, like the way the Rashbam said. Right? That the Torah sometimes just repeats itself. Klamar batachayena sayeladim, like in this week's Parsha. How did they save the boys? What did they do? They saved the boys. They didn't listen to Paro. How? They didn't let the boys live. Rashi says that once I know that they didn't listen to Paro, I know they let them live. So when it says it must mean something else. That they gave him water, they gave him food. So Radak and Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, didn't mind that concept of the Torah just being what they called Kefer Lo'inim B'milim Shonos, repeating word, the same point with different words, saying nothing new in the second statement. So that's a derech, is a change in derech. But in Tehillim, Radak says that when you see those psukim that talk about the locusts being referred to in different words, doesn't mean that there was more than just Arba. Doesn't contradict Rashi. Okay, I'll accept your doc. However, I would like to suggest a better answer for the apparent contradiction between the Pasuk and Parshas Bo and Yoel that is offered by Abarbanel. However, it puts Yoel well after Amos, and then we have to contend with the other answer. How could Amos say there won't be a plague and then Yoel comes and gives us a plague? But Abarbanel answers that too, willy-nilly. He says that the four locusts in Yoel that devastate the land of Israel are not locusts at all.
Oh, they're metaphors for
Persia,
for
Greece,
kingdoms.
And Rome. Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And he's saying that all of your enemies until now, that of course puts him much later, someone living in before Amos is not going to talk about Babel.
Right.
Now they're talking about Ashur, Syria,
yes,
for 120
yes.
years. Then we're going to talk about Babel.
Yes.
Leave that for Yirmiyahu. Right? It's not the business of someone living at the time of Eliyahu to talk about Babel. Certainly not Rome and Persia. So in Greece. So he puts Ravanel puts Yoel much later, even perhaps later than Yirmiyahu, and he speaks about four devastating nations that will wreak more havoc upon Israel than all the nations before, even more than Aram, even more than Philistia, even more than Moab and Edom and Ammon and Midian that you read about in Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel. So that certainly explains away the kasha. There is no plague of locusts that's
right.
worse than anything in the past.
Right.
But this is just a plague, a nation that will
yes.
cause more havoc than any nations in the past. And it resolves our kasha with Amos. Amos successfully warded off this plague of locusts, and Yoel
right.
is not referring to locusts.
Right.
So what we will do, perhaps, as we continue, let's call this our introduction. What we will do is, as we read through, we'll see, because some of the descriptions of what the locusts are doing are so descriptive, that how could this not be locusts? Seems to know something about locusts
right.
that we didn't know.
Well, or else the metaphor would you'd have to extend the metaphor to...
And we will see some very convincing metaphors. I mean, he says the locusts are marching like soldiers. If these were soldiers, you wouldn't have to say that.
Right.
So we'll get into that as our introduction, and we'll start with Pasuk Beis.
Right.